Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
Pretty good. How's your unplug and play week coming along?
So far, so good, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you unplugged at all?
Not really. Although today I did go for a little walk this morning.
Yeah?
Yeah, which I don't normally do, so that's good.
Yeah. We've been playing some, you know, some games after supper.
And excellent.
Yeah. Playing Take Four. That's the Scrabble game where it's not so intense.
Oh.
It's, yeah.
Interesting.
It is. It's fun.
Good for you.
My kids don't really like me very much because I really like to win. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's shocking. It doesn't shock me at all, actually.
So today.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed, this is terrible. We live in a little tiny city far, far away from the United States, but we're so affected by all of the events to the south.
Oh, of course we are.
That I was so fascinated with the Women's March.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there were other events all over the world, mm-hmm. actually, in sort of, what do you call that, in support of?
Yeah, there were 680 sister marches.
Wow. Yeah. But what I thought was the most fun was the signs, right?
Oh, my
gosh. The placards.
Weren't they great?
They were so great. I know. And it really, I mean, it made me think so much about the role of comedy and humor in protest. And then we kind of talked about it. We had talked about doing a comedy show, like a show about comedy as an art form before. And it just fit right in that we use it for protest. And it's so effective.
It is.
And it's interesting that it's effective.
Just think, you take this little piece of cardboard. And even I saw a joke on Facebook about people kept buying poster boards. And someone at Staples was like, is there like a really big school project going on? Right? The Staples or whatever across the U.S. I love the one, the guy standing there and he says, I'm not really a sign guy, but geez.
Yeah. Well, and there was so many, like, you know, lots of women holding, I can't believe after 60 years, I'm still protesting this.
Yes.
No. You know, maybe we'll just put it out there. There might be a couple of bad words in our show today because we have to be able to give them their full effect. Not the worst, not the king of swears, but a few other minor swears that might be offensive. So just a warning. But I like the, so basically what that one was, I can't believe I'm still protesting this.
Oh, this one is funny. I'm looking online. If you take away my birth control, I'll just make more feminists.
Yeah. How about get your tiny hands off my First Amendment?
Oh, nice.
And then this is what I like. The ones that use like sort of all of feminist or not necessarily feminist, but just things that only women have kind of owned all these years, right? Songs and poetry and you know, certain characteristics and everything, and they're just flipping them around. And that's the point of comedy, right? Is turn it on its nose and see what happens. So, like, girls just want to have fundamental rights.
Yes, fundamental rights.
That was
absolutely
a good one.
Yeah. This one's so bad, even the introverts are here.
Yeah. I really like that one, being a mother of two introverts. Yes. Yeah. And then did you see the one that was on a giant embroidery hoop? And it said, I'm so angry. I stitched this just so I could stab something 3,000 times.
Yeah. Or I've seen smarter cabinets at IKEA. Yeah.
That was a good one too.
I mean, so, you know, some of them are, like, it's not about ridiculing. It's just about, I think that humor helps us synthesize the gravity of a situation.
Yeah.
Right. And reflect it back. And I think that people who marched didn't march because they think it's going to change Trump. They marched because it's changing them and they really need to express themselves. And comedy's, you know, it's like a cash machine. You just go and there it is and you've got it, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to a law. And it's memorable.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's electile dysfunction. That was one at our march here in Salmon Arm.
Yeah.
Which I thought was funny.
Nice.
I still can't believe we're protesting this. Yeah.
Yeah. And also the pussy hat.
Yes.
Was such a big thing. And like, I'm a recent knitting, you know, person. Like, I've just joined the knitting bandwagon in the last couple of years. But knitting is one of those things that has been kind of owned and then taken to a new level in terms of as an art form and now a form of protest.
Yeah.
So the, like Alexandra Schwartz in the New Yorker, in her article, she said, as far as she's concerned, every pussy hat was a punchline.
Yes.
Because that's what they're doing. They're saying, look at these, you know, so-called women's work kind of things. Mm-hmm. And we're turning it into, you know, his turning his statement about grabbing them.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? On its head so that people rethink it. And then I was actually really excited about knitting one. So I got a pattern.
Oh, you did?
I did. Aww. So now I want to knit a pussy hat. But what I really thought was the best sign to do with the pussy hats is one woman had a sign that says, "I came here to knit hats and kick some Nazi ass, and I am all out of yarn."
I know. I love that one too. Yeah, it was fantastic. Oh my goodness.
Anyway, okay, no,
as I say, it's comedy is your go-to. It's a way to say what you want and also feel good about it, right?
Yeah.
Because it's pretty hard to go to a protest if you're just going to feel like, you know, garbage feel when icky. You're done.
Well, it's true because solidarity is an immune boosting thing too. Oh,
it's social and engaging and empowering. And
yeah.
And I think that's why comedy is sort of most of those signs, you know, you could have gone on about some very dreadful, scary things, but it doesn't really add to the mood, right?
No. So. And for every funny sign at the Women's March, there were four or five very sincere signs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so you end up with a balance. Like, it helps. It's kind of a required balance,
yes.
Right? Like, you need the sincerity and the truth and the honesty in between those moments of humor. Otherwise, it's all just light and you expect just nothing to come of it. But on the flip side, we need the humor to help us keep going, yeah. Right? To keep doing it and keep saying it.
And it is a political statement. In fact, their museums are collecting signs to keep in their archives because it was a moment.
Oh, wow. Really?
In history, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. And it does speak to this time.
Yeah.
Like the time between being upset about something and synthesizing it into something that's funny is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. Hmm. I mean, he can't do anything. 5 minutes later, there's a meme on Facebook. You know, that wasn't the case with, I don't know, Adolf Hitler or, right? I mean, if you look back at history, this idea that the time between mockery and actuality gets shorter and shorter and shorter, it does totally change the discourse. I mean, I'm very hopeful because of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
because you know what the definition of comedy is.
What?
Tragedy plus time.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know who said that. Look it up. Nobody knows. Some people say it's Woody Allen. Some people say it's Lenny Bruce. Yeah. Some people say it's Mark Twain was Mark Twain.
Well, Lenny Bruce, I got a quote by Lenny Bruce. I know it is.
Oh, yeah. Him. Bring it.
So when I was kind of researching the whole, like, is comedy an art form?
Yes.
That's the first quote I came up upon. The only honest art form is laughter, comedy. You can't fake it. Try to fake three laughs in an hour. Ha, 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 ha. They'll take you away, man. You just can't do it.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's kind of true.
And it's universal. We can all laugh and we can all cry. And we can do two of those things without actually knowing what the other person's language is.
Yeah.
A laugh is a laugh is a laugh.
Yeah.
And some societies laugh more than others.
Really?
And I would suggest that the more democratic the society, the more laughter.
Oh, interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
So
there's a thesis in that.
Totally. Plus, well, I love a good joke. Who doesn't love a good joke?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's being used. I mean, like, the reason, you know, that I've also find this interesting is when I was in art school, I did a hand-drawn film that was perceived as funny. Like, when, if you can believe it, see, I had a radio show in university.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Go figure.
And I remember I played this song by June Tabor called All This Useless Beauty. Mm-hmm. And it was actually written by Elvis Costello, but June Tabor, I think, had recorded at the time. And it was a really fascinating song. So I did this little hand-drawn film kind of based on it. And it was just a upper, like a woman's face and upper shoulders. And all of her things fell off, right? Hmm. So her breasts fell off first, and then her eyelashes fell off, and then her hair fell out.
Oh, dear.
That was it. So you know what I mean by hand-drawn film, right? Like, it was very fast, and I just drew each frame like that. And when I showed it to the class for the critique time, everybody laughed. And I sort of realized, it's not like I didn't intend it to be funny. It was supposed to be kind of, you know, funny. But we had this really great discussion afterwards as to whether or not laughing at art was appropriate.
Yes.
Because people think, like, and some people in the class thought they shouldn't laugh because does that diminish it?
Right.
And then, you know, our instructor, who was actually Janet Cardiff, and said, but you've achieved your goal. You've achieved the emotional response. Yes. So shouldn't we be content with the laughter that you generate? And then after the laughter comes the meaning.
Yes.
Right? You're still evoking the emotion.
Yes.
So I thought, well,
emotional
response. Yeah.
So it was harder to achieve than you might think.
Yeah. So then I was thinking, you know, forward here about how that was a thing. You don't go into a gallery and hear people laughing. Like that's not a normal thing, right? But since about the 80s and 90s.
Or the library or the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But since, the 80s and 90s saw a real increase in satire and comics on a sort of a higher intellectual level. And there's a lot more of that happening in museums and galleries now. So maybe it is okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we're not diminishing the art by laughing at it.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's lots of great examples, actually. Like
and I think our ideas around if we laugh, it's not serious.
Yeah. But yet we laugh first and then wonder why we laughed.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is seriousness
mm-hmm.
in that.
Yeah. And as I said, art galleries, museums, libraries, even classrooms, you know, they're thought to be very serious
mm-hmm.
places of learning. I argue that you can teach more through laughter than a number of other
yeah
options.
Well, like think
we,
about-
like in my class, we laugh all the time.
Yeah.
And we tell stories and we make jokes.
Probably
and
also makes people want to show up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They like, they're there.
Yep.
They like to be there.
And they're present.
And
they're not daydreaming.
You know, that entertainment piece is important. I'm not just delivering content. I'm storytelling and weaving a narrative and making them make connections, right?
Right.
They might remember something because we made a joke about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's, yeah, because those are little crossroads
yes.
in our brain, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the physiological response we have as humans, laughter. I mean, it's very profound.
Yeah.
And maybe we talk about that in the next. Sorry,
we're buzzing.
That's weird.
I know
my phone. The phones. Well, are talking to each other.
Yeah. Well, I did get a little message from my friend Penny, who's listening to us right now. At least
Hi,
I
Penny.
Hope she is. She sent me a little text that says, 1 minute of anger weakens the immune system for 4 to 5 hours. 1 minute of laughter boosts your immune system for 24 hours.
Isn't it amazing? And you know when you have a bad day?
Yeah.
And you're cranky and you're tired and your judgment is clouded. Like I watched 22 minutes last night
yeah.
and I don't think I've laughed that hard in a long time.
Aww.
And I'm not even sure if it's because it was that funny or because I just
needed
to laugh.
Yes.
Like out, like snorting funny, you know, by myself in my room watching. It was ridiculous. But I had a great sleep.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's true, right?
Right?
Yeah.
Because it totally, you know, it undoes all of those knots.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like mental massage or something.
It might be. It's so physical.
Yes.
Laughter is so physical. Mm-hmm. Like you can't deny that it has all of those physical responses
yeah.
that we might, maybe that's as good as going to a massage.
And it's a tonic for what we're going through.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And some people, I mean, there are people who say there's nothing to laugh about. This is very serious. And of course it's very serious, but I think it's a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that it's probably my favorite coping mechanism.
Yeah.
I mean, it's certainly better for you than
crying.
Drugs or booze.
Oh, yeah.
Or
self-medicating.
Depression or,
yeah.
right? Or
yeah.
Prozac or.
Yeah. Today on Artscape, we're talking about the art of comedy.
Yeah. And why it's good for us.
Why is it good for us?
Well, I mean, so we know when you laugh, you feel good. But that's also based in science, right? So there's an article in the Mayo Clinic Journal. The Mayo Clinic is like a ginormous scientifically leading
right.
hospital in the States.
Is the article called Laughter is the Best Medicine?
Yes.
What a coinkidink.
Isn't that something?
I've heard that before.
So laughter improves your immune system, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because negative thoughts manifest into chemical reactions.
Right. That's probably the stress hormone
yeah.
and all that stuff, right? Like, what's that? What is that one?
And when you have more stress in your system, your immunity is low.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're basically a machine. And if all this energy is going to this really stressful thing, then the other parts of the machine aren't getting the attention they need.
Yeah.
Right. So that's like a decreased
cortisol. Is that what it
is? Yeah. Cortisol is stress.
Yeah.
So positive thoughts can actually release neuropeptides that help fight stress and potentially more serious illnesses.
Ah.
So that's, you know.
Well, it's important that we stay healthy during crisis, right?
It also relieves pain, causes the body to produce its own natural painkiller. See, it's better than going to the drugstore.
Yeah.
Laughter can also make it easier to cope with difficult situations. Like, say, for example, you're upset about something. This happens to me all the time. I'll have like a wicked good cry and then I will laugh my head off. Right?
Yeah.
And it's almost like counteracting.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, this is so silly. And then I just start laughing, right? Mm-hmm. And it improves your mood. So laughter can help lessen depression and anxiety. And today is Let's Talk Day.
Yes.
So, you know, let's talk.
Yeah.
And maybe throw in a good knock-knock joke. Or yep. a why did the chicken cross the road joke? Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be a good joke.
Yeah.
In fact, bad jokes sometimes are even funnier. like it improves your sense of humor when you laugh, right? Because a sense of humor is a thing that you can...
That you can develop.
Yes,
and absolutely. You have to practice.
Yeah.
You do have to practice, like drawing or playing the piano.
Yes.
Yeah. It's okay to practice.
Absolutely.
And tell bad jokes in that practice. And bad puns.
And bad... Oh, those are the best. The bad puns.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So other short-term benefits of laughter, it stimulates many organs. You take in more oxygen. It stimulates your heart, your lungs, and your muscles. And it increases the endorphins released to your brain.
Endorphins. That's the word, right? I was looking for. I knew there was a thing. There was an actual chemical that makes you feel good.
Yes.
That's released with laughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's exercise, right?
Yeah.
And it increases your heart rate and your blood pressure.
Yeah.
And so that helps you relax. And it's good for relieving tension.
Yeah.
All of these things you don't need, especially in a difficult time.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
And so I think it makes us sharper and more prepared.
Yeah.
And it helps us synthesize what's going on.
Yeah. Helps us get down to the heart of the matter.
Yes.
It destabilizes the sort of horrendous situation, right?
Yes.
Like the thing you think is the most horrible thing that could ever possibly happen, and you inject humor into that.
It can
dismantle that horrible wall that you think is permanently there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would argue that in very serious situations, illness, you know, there are students taking exams now, mm-hmm. You know, sort of life moments that are very stressful.
Yeah.
The more laughter you can insert, it doesn't mean it's frivolous or not focused on the task at hand.
Yeah.
It's actually helping you.
Yeah.
So, you know, let your students tell them a joke.
Yeah.
Lighten up, you know, mm-hmm. lighten up the mood.
Yeah. And I just wanted to point out.
And maybe that's why the comedy shows are on at night.
Yeah. Right before you go to bed.
Yeah.
So that you get the little endorphins.
Because I always
rush.
Wonder why are they on at
maybe
night?
Endorphins and, you know, melatonin go together
could
somehow.
Be.
Yeah. So last month at the gallery, we did the Heroes and Rogues exhibition.
Yes.
Right? And we had a photo booth.
Oh my gosh. It was so fun.
I know.
I enjoyed that.
Well, it was hilarious because people would come in, they'd be all serious and looking at the portraits and like, I remember him. And oh, look at that. It's so beautiful. Oh, everybody, you know, and they're all very, I don't know, what's the word, like reverent and I don't know.
Earnest.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it genuinely was an awesome exhibition.
Yes, of course it was.
And then they went into the lounge where the photo booth was. And then the laughter started. Mm-hmm. Like people loved the whole like 3-shot photo booth thing, and they would make goofy faces.
Totally.
and you know, make moose ears behind each other's heads. And I just remember a group of 3 little ladies coming in, and they're so quiet and walking slowly, and they're very
polite and reserved. And yes.
Yep. And then they go back to the lounge, and then it was 20 minutes of laughing and giggling coming
gosh.
It was hilarious.
So fun.
And I just thought that was so, it was so important, mm-hmm. right? And it's just, it's a fun factor that we try to make happen somehow, right? Like in a creative way, there's always a project. There's always a, you know, a thing that you can do, something interactive that you
yes.
can do at our gallery, because we think that there should be a fun, creative factor to every exhibition. But photo booth just, it was pure laughter. Like people just had, and there was nothing really at the end, right? It's not like they created an art project to take home. They took these goofy pictures and we stuck them up on the wall. That was it.
That
it was
it.
So simple.
But they were spending time together.
Yeah.
Right?
And it was a really important yes. aspect to the exhibition.
And I bet you that was their highlight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of their week.
Yeah.
To be together and laugh like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think that the sound of laughter, even if you're not laughing and you hear people laugh, mm-hmm. You know, it can brighten your spirits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's a beautiful sound.
Yeah. Your laughter is so funny. Oh. I love it when you laugh. When yeah. I'm listening to this show in yes. repeat and you laugh, it's like, ah, Louise, that's such a cute laugh.
See, now I'm trying not to laugh.
Okay, don't laugh. Try not to laugh.
And so there is a science of laughter, right? So this author wrote a book called Ha, The Science of When and Why We Laugh. Ha, it's a great title.
Yeah.
His name is Weems. Let's see, what's his first name? Mr. Weems.
We'll just go with Mr. Weems.
Who reviewed a number of academic studies showing which part of the brain responds when we encounter something funny. And he says that humor is a form of psychological processing, a coping mechanism that helps people to deal with complex and contradictory messages. It's a response to conflict and confusion in our brain, which is sometimes why people laugh at what they might be thought of as inappropriate.
Right.
Times, right?
Yeah.
So it's a response to confusion and conflict.
Yeah. That's why some people have nervous laughter.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because they're conflicted.
Yes.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah.
So then, yeah. And in the art world, I have a whole lot of different artists who have responded to humor. And this is something that's been like, you know, like I said in earlier in the 80s and 90s really came out in form of satire, and lots of artists created these installations that had humor built into them, but they are dark mm-hmm. and right. So, but if you go way, way back, a lot of artists will reference Marcel Duchamp with his,
who had to have a wicked sense of humor.
He must have the first of the ready-mades. If you're not familiar with Marcel Duchamp, you probably are most, aware of the urinal who, signed R. Mutt. And called Fountain and put it in a gallery, right? Like, that's it. Just the ready-mades. Here it is. Look at that. It was designed. It's well-designed. It's a piece of art. And all the dadaists, you know, poked fun at the art world by doing those kinds of things for a while. But one of the things that Marcel Duchamp did was drew a mustache and goatee on the Mona Lisa, like on a reproduction of the Mona Lisa, yes. Not on the actual one, and named it L-H-O-O-Q. And I don't know if you, because you're a French girl, so you know this. If you say those words, if you say those letters in French, then it sounds a lot like her arse is hot. And that was the joke.
Oh my goodness, I hadn't thought about that. Oh.
Yeah.
Naughty, naughty.
I know.
Yes.
And so in a way, he was the beginning of this, let's laugh at this. Mm-hmm. Let's look at this serious thing, have a chuckle. And just turn it around.
No, because when we take ourselves too seriously, it's exhausting.
Yeah. Well, and then we think all these things are important, which maybe aren't important, right? All maybe the little not. Tiny details.
Maybe not.
We forget the big picture mm-hmm. because we're really caught up mm-hmm. in little things that really don't matter.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it comes down to humility and perspective. And
yeah.
It's true. I mean, and we've been using humor as a social device to break stereotypes and to discuss taboo subjects for centuries.
Yeah.
I mean, hello, Shakespeare.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And the French playwrights and, it goes back to, civilized society. We've always used humor.
Yeah. So we've got
to ridicule, to speak truth to power, I mean, it's an important art. I mean, to me, there's no doubt that comedy is an art form.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And so even though critics in the art world will still, view with suspicion any artwork that makes people laugh, yeah. like it's a leftover from
Andy Warhol was.
Yeah.
Must have had a great sense of humor.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all parody, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, parody is one of the ways we look at our at the sublime, right? The ridiculousness of a situation. Mm-hmm. And it's why shows like John Oliver and, you know, those guys exist, because if we can't look at it just from the 30,000 foot view, right? If we can't look at this from a different way, then we're not seeing the whole picture. So you're forcing yourself to have a connection that is that is not the direct connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so it's like also deep and meaningful. It puts it in perspective.
Yeah.
It helps you, like, it's digestible.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, so a lot of artists have said, like in conversation, and actually there was an artist, I'm trying to look at my things here. Richard Prince, maybe? No, I don't know. One of these guys, anyway, a Los Angeles based artist wrote a book that was conversations with all of these other Los Angeles based artists at the time, which was in the 80s, about why their art is funny and why it's important that it's funny. So all of these artists had these wonderful things to say. Mike Kelly, that's who it is. So he was asking them why they're introducing humor into contemporary art. And artists like Sean Landers said that laughter is a good solid connection from an artwork to a viewer. It is art that is functioning well.
Mm-hmm.
So like that, when I read that, I thought, yeah, that's exactly what it is, right? How do you even know you've made a connection to somebody, to a viewer as an artist, unless they react in a way, right? And
yes.
Laughter is such an obvious reaction, such a physical reaction. And then that makes, like we said earlier, first you laugh, then you wonder why.
Yes.
And so you're going to wonder. Mm-hmm. You're going to go away thinking about something.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's a critical part of
art.
And
it's, so you can have an intellectual reaction.
Yeah.
To a piece, but I don't think it's nearly as meaningful as having an emotional one.
Yeah.
Whether it's tears or you know, goosebumps or laughing out loud, yep. Right?
That's what we all strive for, right? Mm-hmm. It's what storytellers do.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I think I also appreciate that it's a gentle form of disruption.
Ah.
Right? There's more than one way to disrupt a situation. I would much prefer laughter. Right?
Yes.
It just breaks the...
Yeah.
Right?
I know.
And it's doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt anyone.
You don't need any bullets.
Yeah.
You don't need any arms dealers.
Except if you're, you know, like, do you ever feel like you're offended by somebody's laughing?
Oh, for sure. But I mean, I think that's when they're sort of crossing over into being mean.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So I mean, I'm talking about... I mean, I think comedy can be quite pointed, but I don't think I don't think being mean and sarcastic is the same exchange of value.
Right.
Right. Like, so we know, for example, that people on Twitter were making fun of President Trump's youngest son, and the internet, basically put a stop to it. There's a line there. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't go there.
Yeah.
And a writer for Saturday Night Live was fired. And, you know, I mean, we do share sort of a sense of there's the line.
Yeah.
It moves, but you almost have to be a writer, a comedian, an artist, an illustrator to have a good sense of where that line is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you're going to work in that field, you have to be watching where the line is,
mm-hmm.
which is not to say that people who don't do those things don't know where the line is. But if you work in that field, you have to know where the line is.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there are many examples of comics who cross the line.
Yes.
And they never were allowed back.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Today on Artscape, we're talking about the art of comedy.
It may just be the most powerful, gentle weapon we have.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's kind of interesting because we're analyzing it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I gotta read a quote by
okay.
E.B. White. So E.B. White is the fellow who wrote Charlotte's Web.
Yes.
And was also a New Yorker contributor. So lots of intellectual stuff too. He says, analyzing humor is like dissecting a frog. Few people are interested and the frog dies of it.
Oh.
So the fact that we're analyzing humor today
yes.
might mean that nobody's laughing.
Nobody might be laughing. But then, so I'm reading this quote in this article about, it's in on the BBC about the future of humor
mm-hmm.
and how it will help us. And basically the idea is the worse the news is, the better the comedy needs to be.
Yeah.
Right? So it is an antidote. And
well, comedy is pretty funny,
yeah.
So it must mean the world is in pretty rough shape.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's certainly seeing some, unbelievable work
mm-hmm.
in the field of comedy, whether it's stand-up comedy or political satire or illustrations. Have you seen some of the New Yorker cartoons
yeah.
lately? Oh my goodness, right? 22 Minutes. These guys are on, they have so much material to work with.
Yeah.
And they're producing I'm seeing some of the best work I've ever seen.
Hmm.
And I, you know, I follow, like, to me, humor is a hobby of mine. I love to, I love to laugh. I love to.
I know. I follow Conan O'Brien on Twitter.
Oh, my goodness.
It's brilliant.
Yes.
So brilliant.
There's so much brilliance.
Yeah.
Right? And it helps fight the dark.
Yeah.
So I think it's great. Maybe there should have been more humor. Well, even Star Wars, there was some humor.
Yeah. Yeah.
But.
So let's go dark.
Yeah, let's go dark.
So here's the thing. I understand that there's been a real effort from some groups and people and individuals on how to deal with sexual harassment using humor. And a lot of people would say that this is not an appropriate thing to pursue because this is not funny. Like, sexual harassment is not funny.
No, of course it's not funny.
But
sexually harassing someone is not funny.
No, no.
But dealing with someone who is a sexual predator, you have tools.
Well, that's the thing. So verbal sexual harassment is, you know, the way that it affects you is because there's no expectation that you'll be able to respond.
Yes.
Right.
Or
like it's a bleh.
Somebody says something that makes you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. And then that's it. That's where the exchange ends.
Yes.
Right.
And it can
that
also
person
be,
says the horrible thing. You feel uncomfortable and run away and hide. Yeah. Right. That's it's predicated on that whole response that there's no response.
Yes. And it can also be, they hold something over you.
Yeah.
If you don't do as they wish.
Right.
Or they try to reward you with something if you do as they wish. So there's different levels of differences in sexual harassment. People need to know what does that even mean?
Yeah.
Right? They didn't touch me. They didn't threaten me. Doesn't mean you're not being sexually harassed.
Right.
But of course comedy would be right?
Yeah. A defense weapon.
A defense weapon.
So one, and in fact, this in Alexandra Schwartz in the New Yorker, she even mentions it in her article about arming yourself with one-liners, the way you arm yourself with bear spray.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like just be prepared. You know, if somebody says something, hey, you know, blah, blah, or whatever, like just some catcall coming across the street, well, arm yourself with like, geez, is that all you got?
Yeah.
You're going to have to work on your material if you're going to make
exactly.
it in this town.
Yeah.
Anything
and the good comics,
that takes the power away from the person dropping that verbal assault, right?
And the good comics will take a topic, a crisis like sexual harassment, and use their comedy to show how weak the harasser is and how powerful we are. And I'm a big fan of Jerry Seinfeld, and he used to say, so when you're walking down the street in New York City or crossing a car and someone honks at you and says, hey, baby, he said, these are guys who are fresh out of ideas. Like, you just need to keep moving. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's sort of the lowest level of
absolutely
communication.
Yeah. I mean, not to say
no,
you know,
vocabulary.
If you are being sexually harassed, tell a supervisor, tell a friend, you know, like you absolutely don't sit in silence. But it's true that the approach, the reply, right? That we have, and that I think one-liners are powerful.
Yeah, that's true. And then the other really,
and it can be in difficult political situations, difficult personal situations, difficult business situations.
Yeah,
right. Like, remember when Jack Layton, may he rest in peace, and the campaign in 2011, and Stephen Harper's handlers thought that maybe he'd be more folksy in a sweater vest.
Oh, right.
So they were debating, and I don't know if you remember, but that debate was at a round table. And so they were all sitting at the round table with the moderator there with them, as opposed to those ridiculous things
like
they stand by.
And,
oh, my gosh, podiums, so ridiculous. But anyway, so Jack Layton, they were debating some sort of policy or something. And Jack Layton said to Harper, where are you hiding that policy? Under your sweater vest, Stephen? And I never laughed so hard. And it was such a serious, like.
You're such a nerd. I love it so much.
It was so awesome. Where'd you hide that policy, Stephen? But it, you know, it wasn't necessarily. But
you are going to be our first female prime minister. I just feel
but,
it.
But, you know, it wasn't. Sarcastic.
Oh, you won't be
it
the second
mean.
Female prime minister. Somebody's going to correct me on that.
Yeah. It was just funny.
Yeah.
And it broke the tension and everybody got back to.
Yeah.
Right. And it takes a special kind of person to be able to sort of figure out when that moment is. And I mean, some people try too hard. They're always.
Yeah.
They've always got a joke.
Yeah.
But if you just let the conversation flow. Mm-hmm. Right. And as I say, even in difficult situations, business negotiations, personal, family. I mean, I don't know how many situations in my house I've mediated with humor.
Yeah.
Especially with teenage boys.
Yeah.
Right?
I can imagine.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's like with teenage girls. Yeah, we're all very, you know, like happy and comfortable and we don't have any conflict.
No, never.
We don't need to use humor at all. At
all. I mean, all parents use it. Or if you don't use it, I recommend it.
Yeah.
Because
it's true.
It totally breaks the tension.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And you can't help it. That's the best part of laughter. In perspective. Is that when something's funny, you can't help but laugh.
No.
I mean, it's not, you can fake a lot of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But for some reason, if some, and you're in, you are having a tirade and you are angry, and if somebody does something funny, you can't help it.
Absolutely.
It just totally diffuses everything. It's perfect.
Yeah. And so, even in the most difficult situations and even in the most ordinary situations, right? Whether you're being harassed or bullied or living under a tyrannical madman, won't mention any names, you know, you have to use humor.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just thinking about to break out how into slapstick works here too, because I don't know about you, but in my household, it seems like you can be, you know, having this really serious discussion and everything's fine, but then if you know the thing you're holding flips out of your hand and you look ridiculous trying to grab it again, then that's it, right? Then the serious moment over. Everybody's on laughing at you.
I mean, I should have hundreds of examples, but I can't think of a single one in my house where a good joke or a funny moment is kind of put us back on track.
Yeah, but it's because they're common and they happen all the time and you don't really think of it as much because they don't have the horrible, serious, you know, like long-term effect of sticking in your brain.
I guess I would say we discount the power of humor.
Yeah.
And we think that it's frivolous and it's not serious. And yet it can be used as a very effective, again, peaceful weapon.
Yeah.
But you have to be in tune and you have to be humble because some people use it in the wrong way they think, you know, it pushes its ridicule, it's demeaning.
Yeah.
I don't find that funny. Yeah. I think it's lame. Mm-hmm. And I don't like it being passed off as humor.
Yeah. I mean, have you seen the TED talk about nonviolent action, nonviolent protest? I can't remember what it is, what it was actually titled. Brilliant. It's one of the top 10 TED Talks of 2016. And the woman is talking about there's like 119 nonviolent forms of protest. So brilliant. Mm-hmm. It is a really good one. And of course, humor is in there, right?
Yes.
Like, this is an important tool. And of course, the what we were just saying about non-ridicule,
demeaning.
Yeah. Oh, that is a form of violence.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. So we just have to be conscious that, that we're not behaving in a violent manner because we're trying to antidote the violence, right?
I think comedy is a form of strength and cruelty is a form of weakness.
Yes.
And so when I see cruelty, I want to be funny, but I don't want to be sarcastic.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. You're walking the line.
It's a line.
Do you remember the movie Life is Beautiful?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Talk about the saddest, most
the
tyrannical.
Saddest comedy I've ever seen, right? And it was meant to be funny. Mm-hmm. And it's about the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. If anyone out there hasn't seen it, absolutely brilliant movie.
And it's about a father-son relationship.
Yep. It's about how a father keeps his son alive in a concentration camp.
Through a game using humor.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's, what's his name? Anyway, he is a funny guy.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
So just talk about physical comedy too, right? Just how he marches around and, you know, despite him being at gunpoint, is funny.
Yes.
And there was a lot of criticism of that movie when it came out because there are people who say nothing about the Holocaust is funny.
No.
You should not be depicting this in any way, in a humorous way.
But it's a dramatic instrument.
Yeah.
Humor.
Yeah. Right? So it's a weapon, like you said, right? It's a nonviolent weapon that we can fight oppression and discrimination and prejudice.
Harassment, bullying.
Yeah.
It's not the only one. There are many tools, especially on a day like Let's Talk Day. You know, our mental health is important and it takes a team, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was just another really great example of an art form that took a very, you know, horrific subject and And if you make it funny, not that we're turning the facts over or anything, we're changing it to make it funny. We're just approaching it in a humorous way so that we can absorb it in a different way. And I think that was totally valid.
Yes.
I support that.
Yeah. I can't watch it anymore though.
No, once is enough because it was pretty
emotional. I watched it before I had kids. I couldn't watch it now.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot of movies I can't watch now.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't watch Nemo. Anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Comparison is clear.
Because Nemo's mom dies at the beginning. Sorry if you haven't seen it.
Oh, spoilers.
Right? Oh, spoiler alert. I can't watch it. There's a lot of things. I don't think I can watch Bambi.
Yeah, no. Well, everything Disney and now Pixar.
I know,
and
like all those.
It's all really parental death. It's all that starts
it's
everything.
Very dark comedy.
It is.
Yeah. Right?
Yep. Sorry. It's a cartoon.
Cinderella. Oh my gosh.
Yes, yes. Oh, I know that's okay. We could go down a whole lot of dark roads. Yeah. Every dark time, you know, that's how people survive, right?
Yeah.
It's not
And I mean, I guess the other part is you can use tragedy to as a literary instrument to bring things to light,
but yeah.
I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm lazy. Maybe I prefer the laugh to the tear. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. The tragic comedy is okay too, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's okay to do both, to learn about a horrible thing at the same time as laughing about it and laughing about the people who are telling that story or not laughing about, laughing with the people telling that story.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's valid. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I think you're right about the line. You have to walk a certain line and not cross it. But I think we just need to be more comfortable with laughing.
Yes. And I think comedy's been used to advocate for many really important causes, right? Mm-hmm. And we mustn't discount its value, especially in these days.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Taking a break.
Already.
From our funny, funny show that we can't stop laughing.
That's right.
It's so funny. We dissected a frog.
Well, listening. I laughed. I don't know about it.
And now,
as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to the Netherlands. This little wee teeny tiny country.
Yeah.
Very funny people. Great sense of humor.
Yeah.
Anyway, that I don't know if it was it must have been a satire site, but and many of you may have seen it on Facebook, but the Netherlands, the satire site, is a mock video from the government of the Netherlands welcoming Donald Trump, letting him know about the Netherlands in his own words.
Yes, helping him understand about the rest of the world, which is really thoughtful of them.
I thought so.
Introducing the Netherlands.
Putting it in perspective. There's a little bit of humor in the recording.
I'm going to try to play this on my phone in the microphone so that we don't have to go too technical here. So hopefully this works out okay. Am I off mute?
This is a message from the government of the Netherlands.
Dear Mr. President, welcome to this introduction video about the Netherlands. It's going to be a great video. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. Our founding father was William of Orange, who fought against the Spanish. The Spanish, total scumbags. They fought against us for 80 years, but they couldn't beat us. Couldn't do it. Total losers. They're all dead now, by the way. We speak Dutch. It's the best language in Europe. We've got all the best words. All the other languages failed. Danish, total disaster. German is not even a real language. It's fake. It's a fake language. We've got Pony Park Slagharen, which has got to be the best pony park in the world. It's true. They're the best ponies. They are. You can ride them. You can date them. You can grab them by the pony. It's fantastic. This is the Afsluitdijk. It's a great, great wall that we built to protect us from all the water from Mexico. In fact, we built an entire ocean, okay? An entire ocean between us and Mexico. Nobody builds oceans better than we do. This ocean
It is so big, you can even see it from the moon. And we made the Mexicans pay for it. It's true. You've got the Trump Towers. We've got Lee Towers. We would love to sing at your inauguration. Amazing. We've got Maduro Dam, which is the greatest miniature town in the world. It's great. Well, it's tiny, but it's great. And the squares, they're so small, you don't even need many people to fill them. It's great. This is Geri Eickhoff. In December, we've got this scandalous tradition of Black Pete. It's the most offensive, the most racist thing you've ever seen. You'll love it. It's great. We also have a disabled politician for you to make fun of. Her name is Jette Kleinsmann. She's from the Ministry of Silly Walks. You can do a great impersonation of her. Can't wait to see it. People tell us, very important people, they tell us we've got the best tax evasion system God ever created. It's just unbelievable. You should tell your sons to put all your, their businesses here. You'll pay no taxes at all. Zero. It's ridiculous. And last but not least, we've got a great, great, great dependency on the United States. It's huge. If you screw NATO, you're going to make our problems great again. They're going to be huge. They're going to be enormous. It's true. Please don't. We totally understand. It's going to be America first. But can we just say the Netherlands second? Is that okay? Thank you for watching and best wishes. We've got the best wishes in the Netherlands. They're great. It's true.
Oh, my God. It's a video, and then at the end it says, it's got the presidential seal, America first, the Netherlands second. But that synthesizes, like, the whole campaign.
Yeah.
Plus the first 5 days of his presidency yeah. in 1 3-minute video.
Yes.
I mean, it's brilliant
yeah.
writing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Offensive a little bit, but funny. Well,
yeah, and it's just, I think that the whole world is watching this. And they're in the same boat that Canada is.
Yeah.
I mean, we're pretty significant trade partners.
Oh, I
so this is kind of a big
deal.
Until
there's one of these for almost every country.
Yeah, yeah. But everybody has got to
great oceans. Yes. The best. Nobody builds oceans like we do,
and it's so big you can see it from the moon.
Yeah,
yeah. And that's this. I mean, you're right. It's parody. It's satire. It's all the things that are kind of okay, right? To laugh about.
Yes. And it, I don't know, I see stuff like that and it just bolsters me to keep going.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that was one of the comments about the Women's March, actually.
Yeah.
Did you hear like that there was, oh, there's so many people like supporting the brilliant intellectual humor of the signs, but also in the poetry and the speeches and all of the things that happened to all the art things that happened to support it. But there was one broadcaster who said, these are women using language and insults and this the same way that the person that they're satirizing is using language and insults, right? But it's not the same.
No, I don't think it's the same.
It wasn't the same because it wasn't degrading. It wasn't humiliating. It wasn't, right? Like it's pointing out all of the things that they were feeling. So it's like in a conversation when you're having, you know, if you have a conflict with somebody, you don't say you this and you that. You're saying, I feel this and I feel like this mm-hmm. way. And that kind of prevents you from crossing that line of blaming
yes.
and accusing.
You don't say you say I.
Right.
I feel this way.
Yeah. And so that's supposed to be the beginning mm-hmm. of the healthy conversation about resolving conflict is by saying, this is how I feel.
Yes.
So I think that's what most of that was about. I'm feeling like this. I feel powerless. We feel this and we want this to be more open and
yes.
more inclusive and more accepting. And that's...
And I mean, I would say, like in Washington, D.C., there were no arrests.
Yeah.
No arrests. I mean, it's a peaceful protest.
Yeah.
There were arrests the day of the inauguration. But it was largely a peaceful movement. And,
yeah.
And there were so many funny parts to it.
Yeah. There's one little tiny insult.
One little tiny insult?
Well, I thought one sign at the Women's March was a little bit insulting, but I just thought it was really good, really, thoughtful. So I'm going to say it really slowly at first. And then we'll say it fast because you'll see it. But the sign said, super callous, fascist, racist, extra braggadocious.
Extra braggadocious.
So what does that say? Super callous, fascist, racist, extra braggadocious. Yes, from, I thought that was really smart.
Mary Poppins.
I know. Yeah. But yeah. Oh, yeah. A popular culture reference. I like it.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's a cultural instrument, ultimately, yeah. Comedy is, whether it's visual arts, sculpture,
The other cultural
illustration
reference was really good.
Written art, you know, the written word,
yeah.
Music. Oh, my goodness. So many funny songs have been written. Yeah.
Well, there was one sign that said, "You're so vain, you probably think this march is about you."
Oh, my gosh. Oh, well, if that's not the perfect way to end, that's totally it.
That's it.
Yeah, there you go. But then boom, we're here all next week.
Well, and that's right. And that's ultimately what we've come down to, is that if theater and poetry and, you know, novel writing, if those are forms of art, then comedy is a form of art.
Yes, and it can make us better and it can help us cope.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So it's good to laugh.
It is.
It really is.
You know, that's something that a person can do when they're thinking about a sponsorship for CKVS.
Yes.
You could sponsor an hour of comedy music.
Oh.
Because there's lots.
There is a lot.
Not Weird Al Yankovic is not the only one who does this.
He's not, but he's pretty darn good at it.
He is really good.
Yes.
But I mean, you could fill an hour easily with all kinds of, even like.
Well, I wonder if you could play like the comedy sets.
Yeah, maybe you could.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, maybe because there's recordings, there's whole shows on Netflix that are just comedy shows, right?
Yeah.
So that could be a thing.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know what? And sometimes if I'm having a lousy day, I will literally go to YouTube, look up comedians in cars getting coffee with Jerry Seinfeld and watch a clip for 20 minutes and then I'm good to go.
Yeah.
I kid you not. It's like a tonic.
Yeah. I love the one with him and Alec Baldwin.
Oh my gosh, it's the best.
It's a classic.
It is.
Alec Baldwin has been front and center in the humorous.
Oh my goodness, hasn't he?
Yeah,
I think he's going to get his own
portrayal
show.
Of. Yeah, probably he should. Yeah. Lots of people are.
I mean, it's an instrument, right? Like war is an instrument.
Yeah.
And, right. He said, "I will stop imitating, doing this impression of Donald Trump when he releases his tax returns."
Oh.
End of.
Yeah.
He's made it very clear.
And Donald Trump said he won't now because he won.
Right.
So he doesn't have to.
No. No, of course he won't.
Did he sign an executive order to that effect?
I don't think that. I don't know. Probably. Right? But at some point it becomes.
Yeah. But the Twitter wars have been unbelievable.
Haven't they been?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're communicating directly, with about a few million people listening in on the conversation.
And my sense of Trump is he despises being the butt of a joke.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That much is very well known.
Yeah.
And he can dish it out, but he can't take it.
In a way, by doing what he does, he's manifesting the very thing that he doesn't like being.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, and that's, if you're going to dish it out, you better be prepared to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're a politician, you know, being the subject of satire and parody is going to be, like, it's in your cards. I'm sorry, but it's just the way it is.
And
your public figure.
The total opposite, like, I don't know if you watched 22 Minutes last night, but Deepak Chopra, who's running for the Conservative Party of Canada.
He's
a member of parliament.
Oh.
Deepak can't speak any French, went to the French debate, and they invited him to 22 Minutes because he said he lost the debate, but he won our hearts because he tried so hard. So they had him on the show, and he was so humble and so funny. And, you know, Mark Critch made so much fun of him, but you could tell there was a genuine affection between them, and he got the joke and he was happy to be the butt of it. And he tried his best again to say, invite viewers in French to come and visit his website. And I mean, it was absolutely delightful.
Oh.
And he did win the hearts, even if he can't speak the language.
Yeah.
And he was open to his own satire, and he was happy to be part of the funny conversation, right?
Yeah.
So you can be joked about or you can joke with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, the choice is pretty clear.
Yeah.
Joke with.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Well,
and keep joking.
I know. It's all we've got.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why no matter how serious we are on this show, We always end up laughing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it if we didn't laugh.
Yeah, it's true. Because sometimes it's work. Mm-hmm. But then when you laugh,
yes.
It doesn't feel like
work. No, it feels like fun. Fun is good.
You could make your whole job like that.
Yes.
Your whole career.
That's what I try to do. Sorry. Inside baseball. That's my goal in life, is to make everything fun.
Okay.
Okay.
New strategy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad one.
No.
It's a good one. Okay. So I'm just going to point out there's an awesome red and white exhibition going on at the gallery.
There sure is.
Yeah.
And it is full of joy.
It is.
So full of joy.
It is. You can come in and you can get inspired and you can go home and make something red and white and bring it in. And guess what?
Bring it back.
We'll hang it up.
And it's happening.
It is.
Yeah, I've seen
people.
Oh
my gosh. The first 2 days, like Saturday and then yesterday, was madness.
Wow.
Yes. I can't believe. I'm like, okay, I guess we're going floor to ceiling because horrendous numbers of works are coming in.
That's fantastic.
It is really exciting. So
see, it's catchy.
Yeah. Celebrating and acknowledging that we've got this wonderful country that we can freely satirize our politicians. You know, people want to celebrate this.
Right.
We've got
moods are contagious.
Yeah.
So if you can create a mood that is joyful and fun and funny, and infect someone else with it, you've done your job. You've made the world a better place.
That's right. So make the world a better place.
Go do your job, man.
Yeah. Go laugh. All right. Have a great week. Yeah.
Oh, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Orange.
Orange who?
Orange, you glad we talked about comedy?
Very nice. I've got another one for you.
What?
Oh, you have to stand closer. Knock, knock.
Now, who's there?
Interrupting starfish.